Speaking on this program is Curtis Cates.
We need gospel preachers. In 2 Timothy 2:2, a scripture very familiar to all of us reads, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men who will teach others also." We are first to be faithful. Congregations are to be faithful. We are to adhere to the scriptures. The Bible demands that we preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2. In fact, that's the kind of the theme or the motto of the Memphis School of Preaching, preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2. And we're going to preach the word, we're going to have men who are qualified to preach the word, and they must be trained. I realize in times past that there were people, and maybe today, who were preachers of the gospel who were somewhat self-made and self-taught. Brother Gus Nichols was to a certain extent this way. Of course, he went to the original Alabama Christian College in Berry, Alabama, different one from the one in Montgomery that started in 1942. It was before then, the Alabama Christian College in Berry was going. But for the most part, Brother Nichols was, self-taught, self-educated. He studied many hours a day, just like Brother Frank and Camp and Brother Clark and others. But my dad was one of those men. He didn't finish high school. Back yonder when you just about had to work, support your family, especially did he have to do that because of his situation when he grew up. But he was pretty much self-taught and self-educated. Later on, as he had been preaching for many years, he did some work at Alabama Christian College. But these men did a tremendous work, and that's great. You do not have to be formally educated to preach the gospel of Christ. You have to be educated in the word. And a lot of times, I wish that those who are formally educated hadn't received as much formal education at the feet of sectarian people and of those who have very little respect for the Word of God, and if they had just been educated themselves in the truth of God, in the Bible, they'd probably be worth more to the cause of Christ and do a lot less damage than many of them are doing. But it helps to have an opportunity to sit at the feet of those who have trained to preach the gospel and who are faithful in preaching and declaring the truth of God. I came up through Christian education as far as our college is concerned, having gone to Alabama Christian College, sat at the feet of sound brethren, Brother Rex Turner, and others there in the school, and I was benefited greatly by that. But you know, and I know that some of the colleges have not stayed faithful, and they are not putting the same emphasis on the Bible and the truth of the Bible, unswervingly loyal teaching to the truth as they once did, and that is very unfortunate. We realize the need for education. Back yonder when Alexander Campbell was doing a lot of work in Bethany, West Virginia, and leading people back to the pure truth of the gospel, the primitive church that you read about in the New Testament, he realized that he needed a lot more help. And so he determined that he would try to multiply himself, multiply his efforts. And that he did by establishing Buffalo Seminary. Of course, it ended up, he thought, being a babysitting type situation. A lot of people would send their children there, or boys there, older teenage boys, and they weren't really serious about studying the Bible and so forth. They gave a little problem about having to memorize Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the original Greek. And so they decided, Alexander Campbell decided that he was just kind of babysitting there. And so he shut Buffalo Seminary down, called Buffalo because it was on the Buffalo River. But later on, of course, he started Bethany College. And Bethany College for years did a great amount of good. It put out a lot of great men. And you can name some of them like Moses Lardon and J.W. McGarvey and others. But of course, later on, it went off, and nowadays it doesn't stand for anything. If they believe in God, it would surprise me. But that's what happens sometimes, situations like this, and we pray that that doesn't happen to all of our colleges, but some of them are not standing where they once stood. I have taught in three Christian colleges. I'm not opposed to Christian education. I'm not opposed to the Christian colleges. I'm opposed to anyone who's not loyal to the truth. And so, if they're going to teach error, I'm not going to support them. And I don't think you are either. And so, I would remind those who are board members of our colleges to realize that they are trustees. Boards are boards of trustees. What does that mean? That means that they do not own the college. They do not own the university. The people who support it and are behind it are owners of the university. But they hold that university in trust to carry out what the charter says. And when these schools were started, the schools were started to be loyal, first of all, to the Word of God. Not to deviate to the right or to the left, but to be loyal to the Word, to teach the Word, to adhere to the Scriptures. And my friends, some of those trustees are not being loyal to it. And they bring heretics on campus. Sometimes they even have allowed them to meet on campus. And I won't mention a school, but one in Nashville allowed Reuben Shelley and his group to meet on campus for a year. Some of us wrote and so forth, and hopefully some of that did some good. They didn't renew the contract, but they just essentially told people, you handle your business and we'll handle ours. Well, that's the way that some people react in areas like that. But we are trustees, if we're on the board of Christian colleges, we're trustees to uphold that charter and to be faithful to the purpose for which that school was instituted. And I think that we can name some that couldn't care less about the original charters and are not what the schools were intended when they were originally established. But hopefully there are those that are loyal to the truth of God, and I hope that they will continue to be. And so we're not castigating all schools. We're just trying to warn about those who are not loyal to the work that they are to be doing and to the truth of Jehovah God. Now, schools of preaching. Originally when schools of preaching started, and of course they've been in business now for some 30 years, some of them, the idea, the Methodist School of Preaching is the oldest of its kind east of the Mississippi, and it started in 1966. We celebrated, or are celebrating, our 25th year, our silver anniversary this year. When these schools were started, for instance, the Memphis School of Preaching, Brother Roy Hearn had heard Brother N.B. Hardiman say that if I had it to do all over again, I would start a school in which simply the Bible and Bible-related subjects were taught. And I would start a school for the purpose of training preachers. Of course, our Christian colleges include the training of preachers, but their main emphasis is in liberal arts and other things like this. And whereas, for the most part, earlier, more emphasis on training preachers, but it seems as time has gone on, more emphasis has been placed on liberal arts. I heard a person one time say that the greatest drain of this college that he was raising money for, the greatest financial drain to the college was the Bible department. I just don't think he put that right. The greatest financial drain to that college was the Bible department. And this was a faithful preacher I considered him to be sound, for 35 or 40 years at that particular time. It surprised me that he would make a statement for that. I was hoping that that college existed, in great measure for that purpose. I think that was one of the basic reasons why it was set up, and maybe the strongest reason why it was set up. But Brother Hardeman said if I were to start over again, I would establish a school that was simply to teach Bible by related subjects. And so Brother Hearn and those who encouraged him along that line started the Memphis School of Preaching. And that was its design. It started under the oversight of the congregation at Getwell. After about 2.5 years, it moved to Knight Arnold, where it has been since that time. Our sole work is the training of preachers. One of the strengths of the Christian, schools of preaching is that they have preachers teaching preachers. We have 8 men on the faculty at the School of Religion. Every one of them is a gospel preacher of 15 to 20 years experience at least. We have several that have close to 50 years preaching experience. And you have that kind of men here, men that have been preaching for years. They are preachers. Sometimes we have, in some circles, people training preachers in Bible, and they've never preached a time. I remember studying at the feet of some who had never stood in the pulpit and preached, and here they were training preachers. If I were to go out and preach, which I did, and I'd come in with a question, I wouldn't go to them. I would go to people who had been preaching. And so that's one of the strengths of the schools of preaching, and that is that the men have preached, they know what preaching is, and also they're educated in the Scriptures. And this is a real strength. I want to study at the feet, if I'm going to preach, to people who know the Bible. They know the book. They're students of the book. And they've been studying Paul and Peter and Jude and James and others there, and they haven't been studying at the feet of Bultmann and Bart and Tillich and these fellows. I think we need to know some about what these fellows are teaching and what's being propagated today in the name of Bible to some of these preachers so that we can refute that error. But we need especially to know about Paul and Peter and James and these. I remember when Brother Franklin Camp went and spoke at a graduate school among us on one occasion. He told them, if your students come out knowing more about Bultmann and Bart and these fellas than they do about Paul and Peter and Jude, then you need to get out of the business. You have no right to exist to train preachers and to claim to train preachers. Brother Willard Willis went to a graduate school one time. This is 20 years ago. And Brother Willis told me later on, he taught with us in the Alabama Christian School of Religion and was killed going to teach a cluster class down in Andalusia. He was killed in Luverne. But anyway, he told me that he told the dean of this graduate school, went in one day and he said, if I don't hurry up and graduate and get out of here, I'm going to forget all the Bible I ever knew. Now, my friends, when that's the case, things are not too good, right? And he went in to the dean on one occasion and he said, you know, I can't quote our men and give them on a research paper and so forth. I have to quote these sectarians. But yet, when I get through and studying these sectarians, and then I study our men whom I can't quote, like McGarvey and Campbell and Woods and others, he said the sectarians always miss it, and our brethren always get it right. And I can't quote our brethren. I can just quote the sectarians. Our brethren aren't scholars. Now, let me tell you something. We don't have any of that attitude in the schools of preaching, in the faithful schools of preaching. And so we have men under whom people can come and they can study and they can learn the truth. What does Paul say? The things that thou hast heard of me, not Bultmann and Bart and Tillich and Bonhoeffer and Schweitzer and all these others. Things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall teach others also. And so Alexander Campbell realized that he had to multiply his efforts. And brethren, we must multiply our efforts today. And congregations have taken upon themselves, like the congregation at Knight Arnold and the congregation here at Austin, and my hat's off to you, to say we're going to multiply our efforts. We are going to enable young men, older men, to come and to study, and they're going to study and learn the Bible. I've always said, and it's true, the reason why I've said it, people are going to preach what they know. If they know the, quote, philosophers and the theologians, whom are they going to preach? They're going to preach the theologians, quote, and the philosophers. But if they know the writers of the Bible, they're going to quote them and they're going to preach what they know. And that's what God requires to be preached. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. And so, I want to show the need for the kinds of schools that you have here. My hat's off to you. And those who are thinking about coming to Southwest, come as quickly as you can. And you study hard while you're here, because you're going to study at the feet of men who are faithful, they love the truth, and they uphold the truth. And you won't have to worry about studying sectarianism and denominationalism as far as learning it and thinking it's the truth when you go out preaching. And then you won't carry a bunch of theology and philosophy out to the churches and preach something else other than the Word of Truth. Now, this school is a full-time school. Of course, they're like our program is. Sometimes people can study part-time. We have an isolated case of that here and there, but most of our students are full-time. That means that they're in school 6 hours a day. We have chapel from 8:30 to 9, and then they're in class from 9 to 12 and 1 to 4. So 6 hours a day they're in class. They cannot pass unless they study an additional 6 hours a day. I'm sure it is outside of class. I'm sure that's the way it is here. It is 4 years of college in 2 years. And if you don't think that's work, just go through it sometime. We've had medical doctors come through the Memphis School of Preaching, and some of them have said it was harder than medical school. It's hard. It's hard here. If you don't like hard work, don't go to a school of preaching. You can't handle it. And so, if you want to be a decent preacher and you want to know the truth when you get out, some people say, well, I can tell when a person has been through the Memphis School of Preaching in the first 3 minutes that he speaks. He refers to and quotes the Bible so much. That's what we want. That's the kind of program you have here. And that's what makes it worthwhile. It's the truth that's going to save. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so it's hard work. It takes hours. If you think these students at Southwest are loafing, you just go through the program. It'll be the hardest work that you've ever done to go through the program here in the schools of preaching. Now, they need support. You know, the Bible says that the ox that treadeth out the grain is worthy of his hire. Paul said, I have a right to be paid. He said, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them rather than taking money from you. And the church at Philippi all the time were supporting the Apostle Paul. They supported him when he was in Thessalonica, and they supported him on as he was preaching the gospel. Let me tell you something. I know a few preachers that work harder than the students who are in the schools of preaching that I'm familiar with. And so they are worthy of their hire. That'd be some of the hardest work that they will have ever done. And so they need support. How can I support them? Well, you can support them out of the treasury. Let me tell you, our program at the Memphis School of Preaching is under the oversight of the Knight Arnold Church, just like this is under the oversight of the elders here. It is a part of the Bible program at Knight Arnold. It is a work of the congregation to support gospel and to train gospel preachers. And you know, I'm glad that congregations are finally getting around to supporting preachers and to training preachers. We need more of them training preachers. Brother Clark back there is doing a great work, and others are doing a great work in training preachers, and we're doing it faithfully. The Memphis School of Preaching is, the Southwest School is. But let me tell you, they have to have support. Now, I've been through school. It took me years to pay off loans that I got when I went to college. And I'm still paying for a lot of the money that we spent and foregone income and this type of thing going to school. It's wonderful for a man not to owe $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 when he gets out of school. And he has to go to a congregation here who can pay more than have to pay more than they really can pay when they get out of school to pay off these debts. Students need to go through schools, and they need the schools of preaching and not have a load of debt on them when they get out. And therefore, all that they need is the amount to support their family and so forth. Even preachers have to support their families. You know, sometimes we've starved virtually in preaching the gospel. Well, that's not scriptural to starve the preacher. Where's that verse found? But at the same time, preachers don't expect to get rich, but they do have a responsibility to their families. My time's probably up. But Paul said, he that provideth not for his own hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That includes a preacher. Preacher has responsibility to his family. But let me tell you something. Preachers don't expect to get rich. Brother McGarvey in Chapel Talk, in the last year of his life at the College of the Bible, said that there are a number of reasons why people go into preaching. Some of them aren't good. Some of them go in for prestige. Some of them go in for this, that, or the other. Some go into preaching to get rich. He said those people don't have enough sense to preach. We need to enable brethren to go through the schools of preaching and study the Word and not have to be worried about where the next meal is coming from and not have to be worried about having a big debt when they go out preaching so that they can go to a congregation and just have the amount of income that they have to support the family and not pay off a big debt. Well, the schools of preaching are doing a great job, those who are faithful, and we study the book, we take them in depth through the whole Bible, and when they get out, let me tell you something, they know the book, and they'll preach the book, and they'll be loyal to it.